All right, we are on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's call the school board meeting to order at approximately 17:30. And good to see you all. Glad you're with us. And pardon me, and of course, we've got you know, it always happens. Kick off a meeting, and it goes down the wrong pipe.
Peter Brady.
Who's on? Okay. Give me a sec.
You want Peter Brady. Get ready to say, is that you, Roman?
No. Good gosh. All right, we're breathing now. Sorry about that, everyone. So with that, as always, let's begin with, it's allergies.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but look, you all are over there anyway. You're fine. Let's begin with a moment of silence, please. Amen. Thank you. All right, guys, what we're going to do is I think we are going to move the agenda around. I'd like to actually move Dave McGuigan. I'm going to move you up after public comment, if you would, for you and Kevin's report. So with that, if you would make a note, we're going to move that agenda around. Other than that, any other additions or changes to the agenda as presented? All right. Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I got a second?
Second.
I got a second. All in a discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, abstention, seeing none, pass. Thank you. Hey, Katie, are you there? Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yep, there we are. I got you. I heard it.
Good.
All right, good hearing you, Miss Katie. Appreciate it. All right, guys, we've got a approved agenda. We don't have any opening remarks from me. We'll move right to the secretary's report. I believe that got out in a relatively timely manner. Any additions, corrections to the 24 August 2021 minutes as presented? Give you all a few more moments. Very well. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I have a second? Reggie, thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, pass. Thank you. Wonderful. Public comment period. We are now open for public comment period. None here. Pat, anybody on Zoom wishing to speak, public comment? Yep, no worries.
No, that's just the same people.
Okay, cool. All right, public comment period is closed. Thanks. All right, James, to you, treasurer. Oh, I broke it. So let's go right to Dave McGuigan and Kevin Yenser for a report on the facility stuff. Dave, I don't know, Kevin, why don't you start and we'll kick it to Dave?
Okay, now, I guess we have some keys over there if anybody wanted to see inside. I don't know if Larry left any of the keys here or not, because the building is locked now.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to check it out inside.
Yeah, I'd like, if we got time afterwards, I would like to see how it got laid out.
Okay, I'll defer to Dave for all the numbers and the scheduling, because he's on top of it.
All right, super. Dave, why don't you bring us up to speed? What's popping?
Thank you for moving us up, and that helps me a lot. And good evening to everybody in the board. Right to the bottom line, I spent quite a bit of time messing with this thing, but I try to get it as accurate as I can with the estimated cost, what I call it, the cost to complete and add to what's been spent brings the project to $314,090. You have a copy of that report. I believe Jim should have a copy of that. Did I copy
everybody? Yeah, you didn't copy everybody. I don't think you copied the board, but the report I'm looking at has got the 925 date on it.
Yeah.
And it totals $342,776, which is the estimated cost. Then to complete, about $82,000 more dollars, and spent to date $231,342. And then it says total to complete $314,090. Is that the
last two numbers together? The other, you know, the other one is the budget, if you will. I don't know. It's kind of been lost in the marsh, because it's like, I know you had your original budget that Kevin put together very nicely, but I just things have been added, subtracted, whatever. So that 342 is not as significant as the, you know, where are we today? So I said that's 314. And I don't know, it's not going to be, the end of the job's not going to be 342.
So bottom line is we're going to be under budget.
Well, I mean, if you consider that the budget, I'm sorry.
So
you know, I'm going to interject for a second.
Okay.
When we did the Longwood grant, we had a total of 363 out there as the budget, 363, 348 from what I have from the April 12th submission with Longwood.
Yep, I remember that.
So that's why I've been trying to figure out where we're going relative to it. This says, you know, 342, so that's 20 grand less than what's out there. I don't know where the 20,000 delta is. And then Dave, if you're saying, the question is it gonna, is 314 the best guess number at this point in time, or is it going to be between 314 and 342, or between 314 and 363?
No, I think that's the best guess number. There's always surprises, the biggest thing, I don't think it's going to bite us, but for instance, I'll give you an example, if we had to go with tying into that force main coming down from PCA, oh my gosh, that could have added $20,000 or $30,000 to the whole thing. So we're not going that way. We're going to a much different, simpler approach. I'll talk about that in a minute. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And Jim, I think that's ought to be. I don't see much cushion at all in the 314 number. It's kind of, that's where it's at. So I hope that answers your question. The things to do, you probably noticed the brick wainscot. I wasn't up there today, but Diamond's not going to put that brick wainscot on now for another week or two. I don't know. It's like everything else. My gosh, material supply is like an unbelievable problem that I'm sure Kevin can attest to. I don't know how Kevin gets houses built right now. It's crazy.
Way ahead.
All right. So, hey, Dave, as it relates to that, give me sort of the top two items that are kind of hanging fire for the project.
We have the framing done, which that interior fit out framing is done.
Hey, Dave,
yeah.
Who is that? Is it you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was. All right, man, go ahead.
So with the fit out, with the framing done, we can now the electrician and the plumber can start, okay? And that, and they're all teed up, ready to go. The electrician starting on the 11th of October. And then and I'm not completely nailed down the start date by the plumber, because he's sort of reluctant, because he's not 100% sure when he's going to have that holding tank we've talked about.
Yep.
And but that's it. By mid-October, both of them will be in there working. Those are the two biggest things. And I think that after that, on top of that, the HVAC for the mini splits for the fit-out.
Yep.
And we have to get together and talk about the rest of the building, you know, how you're going to keep some level of heat in that building to keep things from freezing in that garage, because I know Larry's got some plans.
All right, so here's one of the questions. This is probably going to end up, Kevin, to you. Larry is wondering, there's going to be a split put in or two splits put in for the office and bathroom, probably just one.
A dual zone.
Yeah. A dual zone. All right. Here's the issue is keeping, or not refrigerating, but certainly keeping the garage space somewhat warm. However, to do that, now we're getting into insulating. We've got to probably create a drop ceiling, put something above it, blow in some insulation or something to retain whatever heat we throw in there. The problem, of course, is it's a pretty open space. It's not really designed for heat, but if we can maintain some level of maybe 55 degrees or something in the coldest of the winter months, that might be a target. So, Kevin, I don't know whether...
We didn't plan ahead for that, because he had the areas the office was heated.
Yep.
He can certainly use a kerosene fire blow heater in there, and it would temper it, but that's only when he's there.
Right.
If he's working on something, I don't know what we're going to store that would freeze unless it was adhesives or something that's water based. But I mean, to do a fit out, we do a tin ceiling, you know, the metal on the ceiling and blow on top of that, and to do the walls and then some type of a gas fire, you know, here, I mean, you'd be another $20,000-$30,000 to get it to that point.
Really?
I mean, it's not terrible, but it's a lot of work.
Hey, Dave, hang on for a sec. I got a question in the room. Hans?
How much of that stuff, is there somewhere else we could keep it? I know it might be paint and thinner and stuff like that, but it was just 5 gallons. Could it be in the basement?
It's being stored someplace now.
Yeah, it is being stored now. Dave, I think here's where we are.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead and get some numbers. Might as well see what the HVAC guy says. We don't have to pull the trigger tonight, Kevin. I'll defer to you once you get some feedback from Dave and the contractor, right, about heating.
We should stay with the mini splits, the dual mini split system for those two rooms.
Correct.
We need air conditioning and heat. And then for the big area, I would just do the ceiling mounted gas furnace. Just the, you know, no duct work, we'll just hang it, and that's how they work.
Okay.
Because that'd be the least expensive and work well.
Okay. All right. So, Dave.
And any heat you put in there is going to go right out the soffits and the ridge vent. So,
right, that's why it has to have a ceiling.
Yep. Yep. There's going to have to be some kind of ceiling.
And I asked the refrigeration guy the HVAC guy to give. We haven't picked him yet, but the manufacturer's putting together some data for us about, you know, the cost to put in additional heat versus insulation. And so I'll report back to you when I get all that.
Yep. Get it to Kevin, let him take a look, and all that sort of stuff.
Not an issue.
Wonderful. All right, Dave?
The last thing is, you know, we have to regroup. We got some work to do to regrade around the building when we're all done. And the water's being directed out around, but we have to regrade that swale. We have to grade for the equipment yard, and by get a fence. I'm meeting the fence guy up there, forest fence. On Friday. And we need to landscape all that. Meaning, you know, we're going to have to put in some type of erosion control for that swale. It can't just, and the embankment, even if we shape it down to less of a...
Right.
You're going to have something out to keep all that sand from eroding. So that's going to be some type of landscape, either sod or, I don't think, maybe not sod, but at least get some seed going in there.
Straw mat.
Yeah, straw mat. Well, okay.
What I'll do, because I'm going to do the grading, and I'll just tell Larry how many rolls of straw mat to get in the seed, and he can just have the stuff there.
Okay.
And
do you have it? Well, you can't do anything until that rock is done.
Well, the holding tank has to get in, because it's like right on that corner.
Yeah, it is.
There's no sense even doing anything until that's in.
One question on the holding tank, Kevin. Are we getting into any kind of issue about vehicle traffic over it, collapsing it?
You can't drive on it.
Okay. How do we... You can take a lawnmower over it.
Oh, absolutely.
Do we need to create four posts? Do we have to put any sort of...
I don't think the driveway is going... We're not running a driveway around to that corner, so it'll be fine. And I mean, yes, you can put balusters up to block it, but it's going to be real tight to the corner of the fence area there. I don't think you could drive on it if you tried.
Got it. Okay, cool. All right, very well. Any questions for Dave and sort of an update on construction and stuff like that? All right, we're clear in the room. On Zoom, Len... or Katie, anything for Dave?
No questions here, Scott.
Cool. All right. All right, wonderful. Thank you. Dave, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Kevin, anything else from you, sir, on construction and all that?
No.
At least this project?
It's just the wait for a lot of stuff. I mean, it is just getting material and getting subcontractors, because they're all... William Maston, they're just very busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and typically we get up into $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. I like to go out for three bids, you know, and do all that. But folks, I'm just happy to have secure somebody that returns my phone calls, and I know he can do the job. So
yeah,
that's how difficult it is right now. Is I know Kevin being in the business gets attention because he's has trade partners, but it's tough. I've just never experienced this, frankly.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
All right, very well. While we're here, Reg, any comments from you, sir, Brick Doctor, Dr. Long, all that good stuff?
I actually do. I'm going to take about 5 minutes of your time, because I think the board needs to hear this. And more importantly, actually, I would like, since this is recorded, if Pat and Colonel would make sure that the staff and teachers and the military instructors hear this part of it. So I was at the induction day ceremony on whenever it was, Friday, and I just wanted to tell you how extremely grateful and thankful I am, and I know I'm sure the rest of the board, for all that you guys do. I was actually sitting there, and I ended up doing a tour with Scott and our guests of honor, which was execs from E.P. Henry, Paver Art, and the Brick Doctor. And walking around the campus, I'm going to read you a couple things that they sent me, because I didn't send them all to everybody. I wanted to read them. I'll send them to you later. But I can't read all their letters that they wrote back to me, but there's some things they pointed out that I want to make sure everybody's aware of. One of the things was, I don't know about you, but I know Scott, when I was watching the ceremony, watching him, I could tell he was just beaming with pride. I was bursting with pride. This place was just, it was great. I got comments from these guys walking around. They were speechless. They couldn't believe this, that these were high school students. Every single cadet we passed, with no exception, was either good morning, sir, good morning, gentlemen, something. A very polite greeting. We went around, we watched morning colors. We did the morning formation, and then we did the
ceremony.
The ceremony itself. I'm telling you, they were absolutely speechless, and I kept getting comments all the way. I don't know if, I'm sure you had some too, Scott, but as we were all walking around, we had all kind of things going on. But I just want to point out a couple things. So I got a long letter from the brick doctor, from Jason Goodnight, and one of the comments I want to read to you, he said, after seeing the students in action and what the school stands for, this is because they were here for weeks doing stuff on the campus, it was more evident why it is so important to help schools like this succeed. While we were on site working, we had the pleasure of helping an Eagle Scout with his walkway and flag project and a senior class install a brick walkway. One walk through the campus and you feel a sense of pride that all of the faculty and students have for this school. Everyone should experience at least once to fully understand the pride and respect that the school represents. Eric Long, part of his letter to me was, E.P. Henry's very proud to support the beautification of First Aid Military through our longtime friendship with blah, 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 the brick doctor. As Mark Fuss and I toured the campus, we were most impressed by the facility, the faculty, and the staff, and the cadets, and most important, by the mission and values of the school. The local communities in the entire state of Delaware have good reason to be very proud of First Aid Military Academy. Of course, they're all from Jersey, Philadelphia area. Mark Fuss commented in part of his letter to me that he was very impressed with the event and the facility. Mark Olivito, the owner of Paver Art, he sent me a letter, and on part of it he said, Reggie, hats off to you and your organization, Paver Art, the Brick Doctor, and E.P. Henry, organizing that. More importantly, my highest compliments to the entire board of directors, staff, and students of FSMA. Capitalized, really impressed with what we saw Friday. This is definitely a culture that is present that can only be understood by experiencing it in person. I can't help but think these students will be very well prepared to take on the world in whatever capacity they choose because of their time spent at FSMA. It's an honor to support the Academy. It was a thrill seeing the cadets walking through the front door and the medallion greeting them. Best of luck. Don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything else from them. Mike Bull, Paver Art, he was the original founder of Paver Art. He sent me a letter, it was a little while after, and he said he hadn't had a chance to send me anything about induction day. He said, first let me say that you and your board have done a magnificent job. I know you have accomplished many substantial benchmarks in your life, blah, blah, blah. Let me see where I was at here. The board has done to create an atmosphere and an opportunity for young people to not just become good citizens, but the chance to develop their individual and collective skills by giving them the structured tools they're going to need regardless of their chosen path. Too many children have no moral or developmental compass as a basis for being successful as they get older and choose what they wish to do with their lives. Your program provides this essential need. I got it from my parents, especially my dad, and his school, he went to Sally's, and from mentors that I encountered early in my work life. Not every child gets that. Your school provides these essential building skills. You all should be proud, and your family should be proud of you. We're honored to be a part of it, and came to full realization as I witnessed all the ceremonial components of induction day and going on the tour of the school. You and your group are special people. We need more of you. There was something else I wanted to say here. First Aid Military Academy gives each of your students a fighting chance, and that's all you can ask. Thanks again for inviting us and blah, blah, blah. And then there's one more. There was a blog put on Paver Art's website by the Paver Art owner. And he talks about in his blog about how everybody always checks on their business and what success means, profits and dollars and cents, of course, which is important. But he's also into a lot more than just the dollar and cents. And he wrote a section about us on that blog. He said, simply put, businesses get asked for donations a fair amount, and the brutal reality is the demand is much more than they can typically do. But he's saying, we want to say yes, and his measure of success is that he can say yes more next year than he did this year. Anyway, and then he goes on, in his blog, he said, back in April, they unveiled, they did a donation for a neurodiversity medallion that was a big hit over in New Jersey. And he said, this month we were honored to partner with First State Military Academy in Clayton, a public charter school. We had the honor of attending their annual induction day ceremony. I was intrigued and wanting to say yes to donating the entranceway custom medallion for three basic reasons. My 14-year-old son enters his freshman year at a public school, so he wanted to see how a military academy was different. My favorite list of paver art designs are their military medallions. They're really big on the veteran stuff all over the country. And have had a wonderful experience in the workplace of working with our veterans. And then on his blog, there's probably 100 pictures of our induction day ceremony.
Really?
That he has them all over on there.
Wow.
And then he just goes on to say, hats off to the leadership of FSMA for creating a culture that inspires. So what I wanted to do was to make sure, and I want to make sure this gets to the staff, the teachers, and the military instructors, because I think us as a board, I think we provide them with the means, or we try to provide them with the means as best we can, but it's really up to them. All I know is I was same way, bursting with pride. And if these guys can pull all that out of spending 2 hours on our campus, something shows, you know, something shows. So I just wanted to make sure everybody, because everybody wasn't here for it and so forth, but wanted to put it out there.
Reggie, thank you.
That's what I have.
I am most pleased to hear it. I didn't know they had written you letters. I do know that for induction day, they were impressed. I thought they were impressed. They said as much to me. But clearly, I think we have found some hopefully lifelong partners with those companies. And it was a little, you know, tuck and go there. We weren't sure we were going to pull it off per se with a couple of the practices I saw and the like. But to Katie, I hope you will tell some of your friends, some of the staff, about what you just learned here about Induction Day and some of our guests. Pat, I know, will certainly share it with the team. Bob, as always, it's great. It's reaffirming. It tells us that we are on the right path. It tells us we're doing what we're doing is the right thing. So, Reggie, thank you. And obviously, thank you for connecting the dots. It wouldn't have happened with that, you sort of bulldogging that thing. And it took a while, but boss, you got saw done. Something and you bird dogged it and got her done, as they say.
I'm just, like I said, I'm just so, I just couldn't believe I got all these comments from them on it. I'm like, man, if you pulled that much out of our school that quick.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm prejudiced because I'm proud to be part of this, you know. But I got all this from them, and this was not like, I mean, this is their true, you know, what they thought.
Yeah.
You know, after seeing it. But I know you probably heard some, and probably some things that I really couldn't say right here, but telling me, like, man, we go to the high school where I we don't get greeting with good morning, sir, or good morning, or even any greeting, you know.
That's why it helps to get the people on the campus. I don't think...
We've known it for
right.
years.
It just don't get the feeling of, you know, and 400 cadets walking by you and seeing them and yep. you know, watching them salute the flag, hearing the boots on the ground. Like, it just, you don't get it with a picture or
that
a
was another comment made to me. They saw the Pledge of Allegiance. They're like, what? The high schools are taking down their flags and putting up other flags. You guys pledge allegiance here? It made me feel good that they thought so great of us. So I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of it.
Thank you.
I wanted to definitely get back to the staff, teachers, and the military instructors.
Thanks, Reggie. I'll pass the word to you.
Okay.
Wonderful.
That's all I have.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you again for spreading that and letting us know, Reg. All right. Moving on, guys. Next on the agenda, we're to our treasurer's report and to you, Jim.
I'm going to be leaving, so I second everything that Jim said. I'm 100%. So proud of you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, man. All right. We'll call Kev when you get some numbers and, you know, all the usual.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep. All right, see you, boss.
Peace.
All right, Jim.
All right. I did send it out. Hopefully everybody got it. I'm dealing from a soft copy there. The start of the month of August 1st, combined 113,735.18. That was 88,112.46 in the checking account and 25,622 in the savings account. The activity for the month of August was I inadvertently deposited both the check from the school for the USDA and the 150 for the building fit out into the checking account versus having the USDA amount of 299 be into the savings account. So on the right hand side, you'll see on the 18th of August that the deposit was put forth for both those checks for $449,376. However, on the 23rd of August, I had WSFIS move the $299,376 out of the checking account into the savings account. The check activity for the month was, 5 checks, Becker Morgan, 2048, George and Lynch, 122,362, Diamond State Pole Labeling, 18,660, Camps for 3,800, and McGuigan for 4,217. Get check fee for $35 because I had to order new checks. So the total incoming into the checking account was 449, outgoing was 450, so left the balance basically of 86,989, which is down on the bottom there for the savings account. Moved the money over from the school to the USDA at $1.50 of interest, and during the month of, second of August, the USDA came in and took out their money. So ending balance is 387,041.69. $300,052.22 in the savings account, the delta being in the checking account. And you see down the bottom there's some reconciling pieces. There were checks that I wrote in August that did not clear until September, so everything balances. You have the statement activity for both, for all four accounts, plus current activity for the WSFIS savings account and the WSFIS checking account. Going back to the building for a second, all funding that we have for the building, between what the school put in and the board donations, the total amount at this point in time funded is $303,450. So when you talk about David's estimate there and what the budget, my initial budget of $363, if that's not the right number all in, if it comes into $340, David's projecting, $314, we're $10,000 short, or we're anywhere from $10,000 short to $60,000 short, depending on wherever the number comes in at. So,
all right. Well, that $10,000 is not a bad place to be. I'd say that's pretty good. $60,000, that's a little off. Kevin, do you think we're going to be $60,000 off? I mean, I think we've got pretty much everything buttoned down except heat, fence, some moving dirt.
And those budget numbers are in there, and they're close. The fence is going to be expensive.
Yeah, like.
Well, we have 10 in there. I doubt 10's going to cover.
Really?
Jeez, crackers. Matt, that's a lot of vinyl fence, and it's big.
Yeah. All right, well, if it's, if it's too much, we'll see. No! We are not doing black chain link. Damn it.
You can do silver chain link.
No, we're not doing silver either. God.
Flats. 2x4.
Yeah, well, there we go. All right.
Well, can I add something to that?
Yes.
So, I've been missing people for the last week.
You mean like we don't know where our cadets are?
Oh, no, not cadets. Please.
Okay.
Because they're over there doing work that the contractor was supposed to do.
Oh.
And they're getting things done. So I did communicate with my people, and
I have told Dave multiple times, Kev, you're going to have to reinforce it. I've told him, I said, look, you can't grab him and let these guys, because they'd much prefer to do all that. then do all that. I know.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't think they get the contractors for what they made it sell. Because that's why I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And, I said, so what are you doing over there? So they did all the office, got it all up. I think they did the toilet. They did
They've got a lot of
stuff
work.
Done. It's probably going to save money on that, though.
It did. We'll be $7,000-$8,000 ahead on that because of that.
So I'll just ask Kev if you can help manage that a little bit with Dave, because I mean I know exactly what's going on, right? The guys are going
it's
over
their
there.
Building.
It's fun. This is what they like doing, and getting and back over here, and he's looking for somebody to
right. We're good for couple weeks
because well, it's true.
Electrician and everybody, so they got to get the nobody can't do anything until all that's done. So,
okay,
and Dave's away for a little bit,
yeah, that's right. And for the board's edification, McGuigan leaves like 8 or 9 October. He heads for Italy on a little trip adventure with his wife, gone for about 10 days. Timing actually is not bad because we've got both the HVAC or the electrical and plumbing piece that's got to get done before anything else. So I think two things. One, it's okay, I think, if Dave's gone at this time period. And two, I don't think you're going to be missing those guys too much because those guys have to be over there. So, all right. We're on Treasurer's Report. Any questions, comments, Jim, anything else, sir, from you?
No.
Okay. Questions or comments on WSFS account as presented? All right, seeing none, I guess we need a motion to accept.
Motion.
All right, I got a motion to accept Treasurer's Report. Second?
Second.
Got a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none. Passed. Thank you. All right. Wonderful. All right. Finance report. Pat, we are to you, sir.
Okay.
And I think we're going to start. You're going to start with the narrative, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Hey, Leslie, what is the best email to send things to?
S. Stapleford, isn't it?
Stapleford, S1.
S1.
You want the home, not the Chase.
Yeah, that's
fine. So this is month ending August. My mistake on that.
Up at the top, you mean?
Yes. Sorry about that. We must have missed the CPOC. I'll send out a new copy with fixes. We're 16.7% through our fiscal year 22. State appropriations as of August 31st were $4,515,996. Remember, we received 85% of that. We did that on July 1. Local funds from the school districts, and again, for fiscal year 22, is $1,302,990, and we received the preload of 35%, which is $456,030. Those are coming in now as we speak. Districts are populating them. I get notice every time.
All right, that's good. But let me go back. So local funds from school districts for FY, that should read 22?
22. I will send the correction on. I noticed a couple typos on here. I did this. I should have spent more time.
No worries.
Other state funds, we've received 90% of the tech block. These are the 100% amounts, so 90% of that, and Educational Sustainment Fund, and of course, our MCI. MCI is about 10,000 more than last year, so that's a positive. Sustainment Fund is about 8,000 more than last year, so tech block is the same. We've received 50% of our opportunity grant, and they break it into two. I don't know why. It's actually one grant. And so we received $22,994. What you see on the paper is the 100%. And the good part is that is an increase of $17,500 from last fiscal year.
I mean, so the 45,989 is actually $17,000 more than last year?
Yes. We see 28 something change.
Okay.
Transportation this year will be $467,760. They haven't requested that information yet. It'll come out later. We have been preloaded 88%, which is $415,217 of that money. But that's what our transportation will be. It still will be just give me 1 second.
That sounds like it's, while you're looking, that sounds like it's a little less than what it was last year. It is more than last year? Okay.
Last year was 465. So, I mean, it's a little bit more, but prices went up. And so, and this is what's been killing us, is because while districts receive 90% funding for transportation, we are going to only receive 80% this year. We received 82% last year. And that's our big ticket item that really, yep. really hurts the school. Most charter schools make a profit on transportation.
Right.
So, and they usually have excess funds. Just give you one school. In Dover, I talked to them. I think they after they paid transportation, they had $200,000 left over. So you can imagine a swing. That's $300,000 we lose every year because of that.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's always been an issue for us. It will continue to be as long as we are getting kids from up and down the state, and as long as the state continues to do the funding cycle the way they fund. Okay.
So expenditures for August was $604,372.
Have you gotten to what you think the monthly average burn rate is yet for the school? Last year,
we're going to try to stay around 150.
150.
But it's going to be, there's going to be months, Scott, where it's offset and I'm just burning.
Oh, absolutely. And this was one of them.
Yes. Well, this month, of course, they're at 290. And my mistake on this, and I will send you a correction. Under construction building services, there's $455,988. That includes our mortgage and interest, which is $299,376. Some reason, $6,612 from the project we paid. And then that's also for the $150,000 we transferred over to the board.
Yep. Yep. That's why that number is as big as it is. That's obviously, guys, why that number is as large as it is.
So the transportation, there was none in August. That will start, of course, next month. I will tell you right now, that's going to be $59,000. Our expenditures, of course, with the purchases. And the nice part of us being one-to-one, the paper instructional supplies has never been, really pressing. It's $46,396. A lot more of that is technology than anything else. Utilities, $10,946. That's Town of Clayton, electricity, natural gas. Keep in mind that is a big number. That's because there's actually 2 months in there. So when July's came in, I think it made to August, and then it just kind of sometimes wraps like that. IT professional services and hardware, that's OmniMaven. They come in and do all of our stuff for us. That's $5,165. Insurance, we paid most of it. It's going to be $48,000 total, but right now we paid $41,030.
We still haven't paid the total amount?
I think so, but the rest of it went out in July. I have to go back and look.
Okay.
Institutional equipment. And I made a mistake on the CBOC, it is $10,416. A big portion of that is for our fireproof cabinets. We got to hold files for 3 years. That includes our personnel, that includes our cadets, that includes special education files, anything else, and guidance. So they all have fireproof filing cabinets.
All right, so the institutional equipment is, in fact, 10416?
It is. It's for
okay.
It's all that equipment.
Okay.
Instruction-related services is down because they really didn't really do anything for the month of August. That will be picking up this month. Clothing and incidentals is 356. If you're wondering what that is, because it appears every month, you see the carpets we have around school with the emblem?
Yep.
And our custodial staff and kitchen staff have uniforms. And all that.
So it's the cleaning and all that sort of stuff.
They cleaning and
see
stuff.
The Marine. Yeah, okay.
They come every 2 weeks and they replace all, take the old ones back and launder and bring them back. And they take care of all their clothes too. It's better to have our people with clothes they can tear up than have them wearing old blue jeans or something like that. So, food, 3,970. I will tell you in past experience, and looking at this year, we've usually run a deficit on food,
mm-hmm.
but everything's free this year. Breakfast and lunch is free for all of our kids. I think that's every school in the state.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? That if all school programs, breakfast and lunch programs are free, who's paying the contractor and where does the bill get sent to, or how does that work? Are we being reimbursed for our food?
Yes. So Missy Guyveson, she submits what we currently pay into the state. The state goes to the USDA and we get reimbursed.
Wow.
Well, it's all that ESSER money.
Yeah. Okay.
Athletic supplies, of course, the start of the season, 11,232. Building and grounds, 21,934. Textbooks, we did buy textbooks for we started for our sophomores, 10th graders. We started AP World History. And we also started a class with a UD dual enrollment class Paul Collier's doing in entrepreneurship. So. And medical 200, driver's ed 524, which we had to just get it ready for the school year.
Okay, super. Any questions on expenditures? Seeing none, last item on this sheet, federal.
So federal grants this year. Now, keep in mind when we talk about our total budget, remember at the end of last year, we were at 2.08 million. We got out of it. We talk about our federal money is not included in that.
Right.
So our federal grant total for this year is $808,000. This includes our fiscal year 22 consolidated grant of $261,705 and our $546,311 for previous grants, and this includes our ESSER 3. ESSER 1 and 2 we've spent totally. So we had to zero those out before.
Okay, super. Any questions? Seeing none. All right, very well, Pat. Budget narrative. Let's go to web report. Now, this is the updated, clean,
yes.
New version web report, right?
Correct.
Okay, super. All right, so guys, what we're looking at is FY22 preliminary budget. So if I'm reading this correctly, all funds in 7.032, right? For?
That's correct.
Revenue in, and all funds total preliminary budget, and again, in the big categories, 6.562.
And it'll be all ironed out at the end of this month.
Right, because when we, and I was going to hit this in CBOC, but I can hit it now, I guess. We met on 16 September. And there were definitely some disconnects between the school and our contractor and our preliminary FY22 budget. When we meet again, we'll have it. And that's why I was asking about the 150 a month burn rate, because what you do, right, you get all that revenue, you wash it over all the 12 months, it gives you an average spend, and that gives you just sort of an up and down about where you are as it relates to the budget. Take a look at the web report, see if there are any questions on Zoom. Len, you still with us, baby?
Yes, sir. No questions.
All right. Oh, happy anniversary, my friend.
All right. Thank you. 23 years.
But who's counting, right? And, hey, would you tell Carl, I was glad he came down. I hope he enjoyed himself and was able to spend some time. And I know, Bob, you may talk about this, but our battalion commander and our sergeant major were very pleased getting coined by him. That was pretty cool. But I hope Carl enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I talked to him. He certainly did. Really impressive morning. And he was happy to present the coins to a number of folks there.
Yeah, he did. Yep. All right, cool. Any changes or other comments, Pat, on web report?
No.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the web report?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none.
I'm sorry, Pat, you sent this out, the web report?
I'm doing it three now. That's why I asked.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure I sent it, because the other one always comes up first.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
It always comes up on me, the, and I'm like, well.
All right, cool.
Either one's fine. Whatever was easier for you.
I want to make sense to the right one. Okay.
So CBOC, we did a little deeper dive into some of the numbers, but the web report is a pretty good capture of that. We don't have really a hard budget report yet. We're going to need it, quite frankly, Pat, for the welfare grant application, which is due 15 October. So heads up, we're going to need to have that pretty well squared away. I don't think there's anything else I'm going to report on that, Jim. Anything you want to add on CBLC?
Nope.
Okay, cool. All right, guys, very well. Next, we are into the Commandant's Report, and I have enrollment and induction day. So, Pat, to you next, sir. Or back to you, I should say.
Well, as you can see, you plan for the best and prepare for the worst. I don't want to say this is the worst, but I mean, I knew there was going to be some drop when we enrolled high, and that creates a buffer. We dropped further than I thought we would. I explained it in a narrative, just kind of give you an idea of what's been going on, and I can go over that later. We have a faster rate of withdrawal really throughout the month of end of August into September. Mostly it was our returning cadets. And I talked with them, asked why. Either they were with us the year before and never really came. They feel no connection to, you know what I mean? They're virtual. Or they were with us, maybe their freshman year, sophomore year were away, and they talked about, you know, Mr. Gutz really wasn't in school, kind of disconnected. I'm going to go try something different. You know, I've been trying to wrap my head around it and try to understand it, but then you read on the Wall Street Journal and they say 2/3 of all Americans are looking for something new after the COVID. I don't know if that applies for students too. We were going to come in right where we were last year, it looks. If not, maybe one or two higher. I had three meetings today.
So for this dramatic change in enrollment, you said, I think, our juniors, or sophomores.
Sophomores and juniors.
Sophomores and juniors. And is it because they spent 18 months or a year not engaged, just not going to school, that coming back to this school was too much of a shock? Or why bother? I'm working. Why bother? I'm doing this. Are they going to their home schools again? Are they going to, or not home schools, but their district schools? Are they going to home school? Are they actually disenrolling from education?
Some of them I dropped out because, quite frankly, we haven't heard from them. They dropped off the face of the earth. We don't even know if they're in the state anymore. So those pull out. We have no way. They don't return. Phone numbers don't work anymore. No one responds to email. Everybody's different. Everybody, and so I'm going to go back to my home school. I'm going to go to another charter school. I had a cadet come up to me not too long ago. Well, MOT contacted me. They're still taking people. So I thought it'd be good change. Whatever you need to do. It is what it is. I don't know. I will tell you right now, this year, in my 28 years, this year is like nothing I've ever experienced before. And Bob can tell you, I can tell you right now that everything has changed. Everything has changed. And it's going to be good for us. We were talking about that today because we know how to build a culture. But I will tell you, the other night we had a volleyball game here. And I was in Blair's office and I walked out and we were housing them in the cafeteria. I almost lost my mind.
This was the visiting school.
The way they were carrying on, and their cell phones were out, and they're laying on the tables, and I was like, of course I saw they looked like our kids, and I was like, but then I realized they weren't our kids, so I didn't say anything. I just told the coach, please don't have them lay down. They sit in the benches. And it was just, and it also talks in there about the TikTok stuff that's going around that's actually happening in elementary schools too.
Bob, what are your thoughts?
I can't put my finger on why we have cadets leaving, but at the same time, Scott, we have cadets coming in. I mean, the number that have joined in the last 6 weeks, it's a weird situation. There's no one thing. As I talked to you, there's not one. Well, I don't like the school anymore. There's not what I want. There's not much of that. I haven't had any real good straightforward answers. Frankly, as a wife and a professor, but at the same time, we got to deal with numbers coming in because the ones that we talked to, that Pat and I talked about, because where they are is a wreck and they don't want to be a part of it. So
September 30 count. Is still there, right?
It's Thursday.
So this does two things, right, guys? The two sort of issues for us is, first, are we growing the school? And while that's important, it is not necessarily the most important, because we always want to have the right cadets. We always need to have, right, to reflect the culture. There's nothing worse than having kids who don't want to be here, fight, push, shove, and becomes a cancer, disobey, right? It creates that. The second piece to this, of course, is the budget. Because if we are building a budget based on 490, if we are expending money based on certain expectations on students, because we're preparing for them, we're hiring, and so on and so forth, and we don't hit those numbers, that can be a significant issue. Now, based in the conversation I've had with Pat, I think we're going to be fine this year because of ESSER, because of the CARES Act money and the January money from the federal government. But we may have some financial decisions to make come springtime about staffing, about sort of next steps. I don't think we're there now, but I am bringing this to your attention because whatever our September 30 count, 458, 459, whatever it is, I think we're going to be okay, but at least for this fiscal year, but we may need to be looking at some different decisions. As a side note, I was talking to the Delaware Charter School Network, specifically Kendall. And this is when she sent me the email about the governor's mandate on vaccination or testing. I would tell you, I told her that whatever the school systems did and whatever we all did as it related to education these last 18 months via Zoom and all that sort of the hybrid stuff and all, in my estimation, was an incredibly bad decision. I think what we're experiencing, guys, is 18 months, a year and a half, whatever, of our young people without direction, without purpose, without a sense of who they are, a place to be, and it was all substituted by this. And I think that's what we're getting. I don't know what the public schools are like. I'm not sure I want to know, but we've got a challenge in front of us. I asked Pat, are the kids in a groove yet? Are they getting there? And I think they are. I think they're getting a groove. I think it's coming along. I actually think induction day, quite frankly, helped solidify for a lot of our kids who and what we are and brought it home. But I will offer I think we're starting to see some of the manifestations of what we've done to ourselves over the last year and some. That's an editorial comment. It is not necessarily a reflection, obviously, of you guys and this board's official position. But so hang loose. We're going to support our guys as best we can. Make sure we give you, Pat, whatever you need, and our teachers, and Bob, whatever you guys need, and the support. I get it. I understand. Certainly, it's difficult looking at that number because we've grown every year. We've been open. But, man, COVID's different. Yes, Pat?
I will add, if you don't mind, I don't think we're start seeing it. We full-blown seen it. We're already making steps. When you came up and meet with teachers, that's what we're doing. We're already making steps to correct it. We're already... we saw it for 2 weeks, and we were like, nope, we need to start meeting, planning, getting this worked out. And, you know, the kids, oh, my God, they had just... it's like they forgot everything on how to do things. I'm glad that induction day was so impressive. Of course, my opinion was different. And, you know, but the kids did. They stepped up, but still, I mean, to that point. But we've been working with them, and they do good. I mean, when you look at them and you see what they do, Hope brings it up to me. Of course, she's a fresh mind, eyes that I've watched. And she looks at me and says, she just like that, because when I say, like, you know, we're about this, and she said, you haven't been in the schools lately. And I said, well, you know, but the thing about it is that, you know, we don't want to be in any other schools. And so we do step back. Our kids are really doing a lot of good stuff, but we still give them a hard time, and we don't stop. And we give them their attaboys, and they do good stuff like that, but we always want them to keep reaching. We don't want them to become satisfied and complacent. Because that's when danger comes in. So, well, yeah, we have already started. It's there. It's full blown. Just the TikTok things alone, the ripping off the soap dispensers. Elementary schools are struggling with that.
Yeah, to that point, for you all that are on social media, keep your eyes open. If you see something that catches your eye as it relates to specifically our kids or someone who's identifying as a cadet from here and this TikTok stuff, I kind of like totally don't get any of it, but I'm hearing enough of it from some other people I talked to about what it's doing. Thank goodness we don't allow our cadets to use it in school, but it's when they get home.
And question.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys, Pat, just occasionally collaborate with DMA? I just mean, do they have a similar problem that you know of going on?
What's happening in every school? You talking about the TikTok?
The enrollment stuff more. Like the military.
No. Oh, are you thinking that because we're a military school, there's a shun away from it?
Well,
I mean, maybe, a more
maybe everything was so damn easy. And now they're like, oh, I just want to go back to Easy Street. Because I'll tell you, my kid's in a public school. And
well,
it's got to be easy.
The only thing I would say to that, Hans, is I would say look at the area. So if you're going to leave First State,
right?
Okay, I'm going to go to Middletown High School.
Right.
Or I'm going to go to Odessa High School. I'm going to go to Appaquinic High School. Even Smyrna and whatnot. People are okay with that.
Right, okay.
You're not going to pull out a DMA, and I don't really put that, I'm not going to put that out of the schools, but let's face the facts.
Right.
Red Clay has positioned themselves in such a way that their charter schools and magnet schools, there's a gap between the other schools in their district. So there's really like, where are you going to go?
Right.
And so I think that's one of the, we talked about that with enrollment last year, is that's one thing that we do battle. When you come down to Kent County, as you know, we're down here, it's like, I'll never forget, I was at when I was the AD at Polytech, and people came down to do something, and they're from Brandywine, and we were playing Lake Forest, and you were probably there, Hans. Oh my God, there were so many people there. It had to be in 4,000 or 5,000, not that it seemed that way. And it was a really nice environment, and there was nothing going on, everything was well. And the people said to me, they said, you know, we can't do this up above the canal. And this doesn't take place. And so, you know, of course, Kent County has a different feel to it. Now, of course, that I've heard right here, that's been changing too. So that's the battle with enrollment. So you've got your high school that's part of your it's your town. You know, like Camden, Wyoming, you've got Cesar Rodney, you got Dover, you got Smyrna. So those are community high schools. You don't have that same up north, so it's really a different mindset when you got to look at it. So
comparing apples and oranges,
I would think so.
So the enrollment that we've lost, you're saying, was basically sophomores and juniors, was the most of it.
Yes.
So let me ask another question: where did the majority of them fall? Were they our upper end students, our mediocre students, or our
Well, some, like I said, they weren't even here last year. Some of the sophomores weren't really sophomores. They struggled so bad last year, they didn't do well academically, so they left. It's hard to pinpoint one category because they were so, everything was so wide-ranging. Because I've looked at it over and over again because I'm trying to figure out, but it didn't stop with our cadets. Sam happened with our teaching staff, too. But again, that's not what I'm reading. I'm trying to understand why. But everything I read nationally is saying the same thing. People are migrating for some reason. They're just, hey, now's the time since everything's changed going back. And maybe it's time to make that move. I don't know. I looked at myself. I looked at what I do. Reflected on it. What have we changed? What maybe we can do different? And, I really think, the nice part of going into this, and I told Scott on the phone, is we're almost like rebuilding the school in a way, except we're rebuilding it with 460 kids, cadets, and at least we know what to do.
But I think maybe to your point, Randy, it's not the people really engaged in the school. It's not the cadets who want to perform at a higher level. It's probably the folks who aren't engaged and haven't bought into the culture that we need. They're the ones leaving.
Which
in the end, we'd say that's probably aren't the kids we want here.
Yeah,
but we're losing the population, which is losing the money. And that's
probably a little bit of everybody or every sector, I would imagine. But I was just wondering if there was any telltale. Because I think that also then gives you more insight as to why. But you're 100% right. I've read the same thing, too, especially with the workforce. What are they saying, two-thirds? Is that what you said you read?
It was in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, something like two-thirds of the workforce is changing jobs. But anyway, that's where I was getting at. If you can kind of pinpoint it, if it's different type of student.
Yeah. No, my kid doesn't like
different.
To get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to school either. It's easier to sleep in until you get up and ready for your class at 8 o'clock. But I'm like, well, this is what you would be doing normally, so you get up and you go to school and you participate. And you know, that's what you do. But
then
some
there's
kids
all the,
those can't do that.
All the anxiety about being away from people, doing things. Kids are really struggling with anxiety, having to come back to being around people. There's a lot. Maybe 10 years down the road when all these psychologists and psychiatrists do all these research, all this stuff's going to come out.
Yeah.
We're going to say, wow, how can we battle through that?
Well, you'll see it. You see it right now. I told my grandkids, I mean, you know, when all of a sudden they were staying away because we're old, right? Well, all of a sudden when things change, hugging and kissing like the normal things that you were doing since they were little kids doesn't automatically just go back. Yeah, I mean, you really have to work at that. But you're right when you mentioned that. There's a lot of anxiety with the kids to even be around people again.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Lot more to come on this. Pat, why don't you do we need to go to an executive session on any of this?
That's up to you.
Well, typically we have, and particularly if we're hiring some folks and all that sort of stuff. Why don't we hold that off on the resignation and appointments? Bob, let's go to you on some events and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, well, on the 25th, last Friday, we supported, Friday and Saturday, we supported VetFest. So we had some volunteers.
That's right.
During the school day, go up and help out. And Saturday, we had a Raiders team and cross-country team perform in the events up there. We didn't have any volunteers up there on Saturday. It was a dysfunctional event this year, trying to work with the folks up there. It was interesting. I've been working with them for 6 or 7 months. And, you know, I get an email Thursday night saying, can we have some kids out here? Maybe it was Wednesday night. We had some kids out here Friday morning, maybe it was Thursday morning. It was late. We jumped through and got some seniors up there, and they drove. Not the bash VetFest. I'm sure they got their own struggles, just like we were talking about here. Things have changed. It was interesting dealing with them, but we did support it. Pat knows more about what Paul Collier's doing than I do. I just know he's going on the field trip.
So as I said, he's in part of the entrepreneur class in the enrollment with CD.
Okay.
So he has been working with the LPGA, and they're coming up, and they're going to take the. He has to make two trips Thursday and Friday. He's going to drive a van up there. The cost. They're paying for everything. They're going to take the kids through the whole operations of how they run the golf tournament and different things that they do so they can see the business side of it and everything it entails.
Neat.
They're going to provide them lunch in the clubhouse and all these things and take them around. So,
where are they? What golf course are they going to?
They're going up to Jersey. It's only 2 hours away from the school, so it's like a day trip for them.
Okay. Sounds good. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, on this Saturday, we're doing a car wash, hopefully. It's been rained down twice. So, hopefully Saturday. On the 16th, we have our, which is another Saturday, we do our annual Raiders competition that we host here. Today, we only have one school that has signed up. I hope that a few more are signed between now and execution day, but even if they don't, we'll do an internal team competition. So, that's also an indicator of status of the programs out there. I think a lot of them collapsed last year. Mm-hmm. But we only have one school right now that is Roger up to be here with the Raiders team. So it's a struggle. On the 2nd of November is the date for the hit locker delivery as it stands right now.
Fine. Great.
Yoni's taking two teams down to the Atlanta area on those dates indicated. They'll be taking a bus down versus flying this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's by choice and design. I think it's the right thing to do. It's rental cars, drivers.
Okay.
So they're going to take a charter bus. Marine Corps is paying for the charter bus and the hotel. So the large chunk of this is being paid for by the Marine Corps. That's got an open house there. I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, what is that?
So last year we did a large open house.
We did?
We did, November 13th or the 12th.
What?
It was the
beginning. Was I here?
Yeah. You were in the baby center talking to all those groups of people.
Remember, we were here and we just...
We had 64 families come through.
Yes, got it.
So we're going to stick with that format.
All right.
The question is, do we have people signed up or we just let them come through?
No, I would ask for sign-ups.
Okay.
I think that is helpful. Now, certainly we will take Certainly, we will take walkthroughs and put them in the group, but I think signups are the way to go.
Gives you an idea of how many you're going
to have. It gives us an idea. Yeah. And maybe we say we're not requiring signups, but we're requesting you or we're asking you to sign up if you could to give us an indication.
Just on a side note, that's supposedly our retreat, too.
Well, that's the 16th of October. I was going to ask about that because is the Raiders competitions here?
Yeah, I didn't know
how big it was going to be. That's what I was wondering. But no, we're the 16th.
Yes, it is. 16 October. We're here. Okay. I was going to talk about that in my closing comments.
Isn't that at your house now?
So, but we're going to go with that open. And actually, it's coming around pretty quick. And so.
What, the 6th of November?
Oh, yes. Actually, a lot quicker than it's hit kind of hard. So, anyways. I'm going to start planning. That's going to be. I'm going to get on it this weekend and see and start pulling out. We have it all done. It's about dusting it off, redoing it all. But the big thing is the mailer.
Right.
Okay. Those addresses.
While he's doing that, Bob.
Yeah, 12 November is the Rinker Ball Bible Church Center this year. We're moving again because of the size, and hopefully it works. They can hold about 350 people there, so that's where we're going to go. And it should be. Got a pretty nice little setup going on there.
Who's speaking?
It's a Lieutenant Colonel Bohannon. She works in the Pentagon.
Okay.
And, well, actually, she's a student right now at the National War College. So a little bit of a struggle finding also guest of honor, you know, for the ball. But she comes well recommended. So, yes. So Lieutenant Colonel Bohannon, female Marine.
All right, super. And guys, put that on your calendar. I hope you can make it. Obviously, I'll be there.
Yes.
We'll have a table, I guess, a couple of tables for board members.
We'll have a few tables for staff and board members. And the tickets are $50 for adults.
All right. Go ahead.
Sometime in the future when we need another speaker, I've got a great candidate here who was a Marine Corps officer. She's the president of, and now my mind's going blank and I can't find it. She's the president of space operations for ILC.
Oh.
So I got contacted. I've had some contact with her. And
you told me about that. I think I remember you. Okay.
So if there's somewhere or some event that we want to have a guest speaker, she went through the Naval Academy. She's got a pretty good history. And I think she only spent 4 or 6 years in the Corps, and then she got into the business world, and like I said, now she's the president. ILC has really grown.
Yes.
They're a worldwide operation now. They're building a plant right now in Ireland.
Yep.
And, I think her title is president of the worldwide space operations.
Okay.
Well, big work, Reggie. You're up for it. Invite her to this year's ball. Sometimes that.
For the ball?
Yeah,
as a guest.
If you want me, I'll reach out.
Okay. They attend the ball, they're more inclined to come back another, you know, next year.
Okay, cool. All right. Pat, let's finish up this sheet, and then we'll do a quick, we'll go into executive session for personnel matter.
Just telling you, the telecommunications system has been ordered, just waiting to get installed. I'm still waiting on a few things with the security system. Go there again. That's ESSER III money. The rest of our ESSER III money, we really haven't. I haven't done anything with it because if we need to do an addendum, I want that money available. Policy and procedures. We originally had that ball plan for the 6th, was it, Colonel?
Yes.
And that was going to be a half day. Now the ball is going to be on the 12th, so I want to flip-flop. I want your permission to flip-flop those days. So the 5th becomes a full day, and the 12th becomes a half day.
Yeah, I'm jiggy with that. Do you need a...
You need one because it is a...
A change to our calendar?
Correct.
Yep, yep.
Well, before we go to that, can I offer one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
So if you look at the narrative I gave you... And some of the things we've been dealing with for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I can tell you that I've been covering classes. We've all kind of, so when that kind of happens, everything is kind of delayed coming to a stop. I can no longer keep up with the emails, and you know, I either get up early in the morning or stay late to get it all done. Today we had 8 out. Out of a school our size, that is well over 20% when I talk about teaching staff. That's 25%. Usually that's grounds to close. And COVID stuff hasn't even started. So...
now, we get some back. We've got four, actually three, still on leave, don't we? I think.
But we only have one on leave.
Only one on leave now. So the four last week are all back, except or three out of the four, three are back from last week.
They're all back. We have, for 2 weeks, we were out five people.
Right.
So I just want you to understand how hard it's been and what we're going through. I mean, you know, it's, and then the kids not being on point, well, they are, but just, I want you to understand that with all this other stuff, now we're short staffed. And, you know, I talked about our ninth graders, and they struggled a little bit. They really did. Until we did some insight, we did some thought. And, of course, I taught seventh grade for 13 years. And when they came in, I saw seventh grade behavior. And so we started thinking about it really last time these kids were in school for any long period of time was seventh grade. So developmentally, they're all behind. So these are a couple of the tasks to work with. I'll tell you right now, the teachers are burnt already. They're tired. September has been brutal for us. But it's been brutal for everybody. Every admin I talk to, Denise at PCA, she goes, Matt, oh my God, you don't understand. It is everywhere and everybody's tired. And what makes it most difficult is that we're just trying to, and I'll be honest, Scott, we're going to survive, we're going to progress, we're going to move forward. That's going to happen. It's going to be a challenge, but you know, we need to focus on our school. The regulations don't stop, though. And so we have people, hey, you need this, do this, do this, do. You know, I'm sitting in there, I have a class of 20 kids, and I'm trying to get stuff done. So, you know, for DOE, so these are coming, that I want you to understand some of the obstacles and barriers that we're all facing here. Mr. Newman's been doing it. He has a classroom of cadets, and he's watching. I've been pulling all of our counselors. So when kids have social-emotional issues, there's no one to go to. All these different factors are coming into play. And I look around at the staff, and Colonel can tell you, everybody looks like they're tired. And so I'm going to ask something of the board, if you would, please. On the 8th of October, we have a PD, and new tech's coming out. And they're flying in, one's from California, one from Texas. My biggest concern is the teachers, our teachers are really, really good. They really work hard. They really support the school. But anytime we have a PD day and they need a break, well, they might take it. And they've been really doing a good job. And what I wanted to do, and I realized...
close the school on the 11th?
Please. I want to get my holiday, a long week. We're going to do the PD in the morning because that's all New Tech wants. Then we're going to talk with admin in the afternoon, and I want to give them a holiday weekend. Yes.
All right.
We didn't plan on it. We didn't think we'd need it, but the circumstances have changed.
All right. I certainly, Pat, your call. I get it. They're not going to get any argument from me. Do I see any discussion? Is Len still with us, or he rolled off?
He dropped off at 6:30.
All right. Katie, you want to throw in on this?
I would agree with Pat that the staff is okay, but everyone is really tired.
Okay.
I think that they would appreciate a day off. I know that, I don't know about this year, but I know the last 2 years, every time that I talked to my coworkers when they took a day, like a personal day, at least in my department, they used personal days to grade because there's so much grading. So, a lot of times they're not out on the beach or anything, but they feel so behind that, you know, I was doing the math this morning, like one of our teachers, she has 160 freshman cadets, and even if she only one grade assignment a week, it would, and she only took 3 minutes to bring each person's assignment, which is not even that much time. It would take her 7.5 hours just to grade, like, one thing. So it's, you know, it is a lot.
Yep. Okay. I got you. All right. I don't think, Pat, again, your call. I don't think there's any issue here. So if I may, we have a motion. Do I have a motion to accept the two calendar date changes and including October 11th as a school closed day? Do I have a motion for that?
Motion.
I've got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right. Any abstentions? Noes? All right. Pat, got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go ahead, move into executive session real quick, talk about the resignations and appointments coming up. So what time do we have, guys? About 1700 or 1900?
Yep.
1855.
Yep. Got it. All right, do I have a motion to go in the executive session for personnel issues?
Motion.
I've got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, passed. Let's go into executive session, please.